Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. The Sabres announced earlier today that they have signed forward Johan Larsson to a one-year contract for $1.55 million. Larsson recently completed his seventh NHL season, recorded 14 points in 73 games last season. Larsson has recorded 79 points in 331 career NHL games. Center Ryan Dzingel and the Hurricanes, that will pay $3.25 million in the 2019 season and $3.5 million in the 2020 season. Dzingel established career highs in goals, assists, and points in 78 regular season games last season with Ottawa and Columbus. The number two pick in the 2019 NHL draft, forward Kaapo Kakko, agreed to terms on an entry-level contract with the Rangers yesterday. Kakko had 38 points in 45 games for TPS in Liiga, Finland's top professional league last season. His 22 goals were the most by a player 18 or younger in league history. It was reported yesterday that Chargers running back Melvin Gordon is preparing to hold out for a new contract, and if he does not receive one, he will demand a trade and will not report to training camp. Gordon would be subject to fines of up to $40,000 for each day missed if he does not report. That's per the CBA guidelines. Chargers veterans report to training camp on July 24th. And Novak Djokovic will get the chance to defend his Wimbledon title in Sunday's final after he defeated number 23 seed Roberto Bautista Agut in four sets earlier today. Djokovic is in his sixth final at the All England Club and will look to add to his previous four Wimbledon wins and his 16th major title. He's going to be playing either Roger Federer or Rafa Nadal, who are currently in the second set of their semifinal match. That is your sports update from One Bills Drive on a free-for-all Friday, people. Chris Brown with you, flying solo as Steve Tasker hopefully is done tossing his cookies. Hopefully he is feeling better and on a couch at his home with a cold compress on his forehead. He did not look good today at all, and we promptly had him do an about-face and got him back home. So hopefully Steve has got his feet up and he's feeling better and watching the program, and we'll see if we can't get him to crack a smile. So hopefully he's doing better this afternoon, and we'll be in ship shape next week when we resume with the show on Monday. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, as we are discussing Josh Allen's best traits, and it's not all physical. We're talking about leadership, we're talking about competitive spirit, or anything else that you may want to bring to the table. We had a caller in the first hour saying he believes it's Josh's ability to play in bad weather that he feels is one of his most important traits that will help lead to success for the Bills in 2019. Right now, athleticism and playmaking ability is leading the way. That's not surprising, but as I mentioned last hour, I think his leadership is an underrated quality. We had Lorenzo Alexander on last hour also on the lowdown, and he kind of took a stab at this and said, you know, Josh's leadership has really come to the forefront primarily due to the fact that he is the entrenched starter at quarterback. He's not competing with two other guys, as was the case last year. It's very hard to lead when that's the scenario you're faced with. So Lorenzo certainly sees it, believes he has a natural ability to do it. So he had a lot of good things to say about Josh's leadership qualities. On the tweet sheet presented by Corrigan Moving Systems, we only got to a couple here so far, so I do have a couple of more that have been coming in, but you're welcome to chime in as well at 803-0550 if you have a take on what you feel Josh Allen's best trait is in terms of the fortunes of the Bills. This was from the Dean Man, and he said, I like his competitive spirit. His spirit brings out his athleticism and all the other traits. Well, that, I got to say, is probably the best comment of the day, so thank you for that, Dean Man. Yeah, he's right. The competitive spirit, which is what I voted for, I didn't think about it as deeply as Dean Man did, but he very succinctly makes a very good point here. It is his competitive spirit that brings out his athleticism that compels him to hurdle that guy in Minnesota, Anthony Barr, to scramble 14 yards for a touchdown. Now the challenge is going to be balancing that and assessing risk-reward, sometimes in a split second. Because as we heard in some of the Josh Allen sound that we played last hour in an interview on SiriusXM NFL Radio, he said, I'm the most competitive guy in the room at all times. And while that certainly has benefits, if you're overly competitive, especially at the all-important position of quarterback, on occasion it can get you in trouble. As he even said, if you're fighting for that extra yard or you're willing to lower your shoulder and take an extra hit for the sake of, you know, keeping the offense on the field. Those are the things now in year two that he is going to have to weigh, sometimes in the snap of a finger. And that's not always easy, because sometimes your competitive spirit can get the best of you and lead to a risky situation in a sport like football. So it's good to hear that he's aware of it, and I'm sure, you know, offensive coordinator Brian Daboll is in his ear constantly about that. But the fact that he has the presence of mind to know, I have a very high competitive spirit, I cannot let it get the best of me to the point where I'm putting myself at risk and the fortunes of the Bills offense at risk in turn, and the whole team for that matter. But a good chime in there by Dean Mann, so thanks for that. We're also taking calls at 803-0550. But also on the tweet sheet here from Dinah, she says, Josh has many great qualities, but after watching him hurdle that guy with my heart in my throat, I have to say his competitive spirit ranks highest. The young man may not win them all, but he sure doesn't quit. And I think that's what got everybody on Josh's bandwagon last season. Seeing him willing to do anything for the benefit of the team and to help win games is an easy thing to get on board for, and I think that's what had so many fans gravitating to Josh last season. This one from Nick. I'll admit, I didn't like the pick like half of the universe, but he has grown on us fans, and he was good last year and only going to get better. He reminds me of a Frank Reich-style player with the feet of Thurman. Wow, going combo there on the 90s guys, Nick. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any debating his athleticism. And clearly Nick was voting for that. Dinah seemed to be more on the competitive spirit side. And that's really been where the vote has been split the most in our Twitter poll thus far. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to get on the horn and weigh in on this topic today as we discuss Josh Allen's best trait. And we've got physical traits and we've got character traits here, and it seems to be a little bit of a divide as to which is more valuable to this team. 803-0550. So to the phones we go, and we go to Tony in Hamburg. Tony, you're on One Bills Live. What do you got for us?
Well, I believe that one of his best traits is his ability to learn, to adapt, to listen to the other quarterbacks and his coaches. And if he looks off of his receivers where the other team isn't going to be eyeballing him, you know, where he's throwing, I think he's able to adapt and do it quickly. And he's extremely athletic, and I think he's an asset to the locker room. I'll let go with that, and thanks very much for taking my call.
All right, thanks, Tony. Appreciate the call, because you brought some new things to the table here that I think did go unnoticed. And would probably fall into the other category on the Twitter poll. You know, we joke sometimes about just listing the other as the fourth option, and it hasn't gotten a whole lot of the votes so far in the Twitter poll. But here's the thing. There are some other traits to Josh's game that probably do go by the board, and Tony pointed out two of them. One is how coachable Josh is. And we've heard offensive coordinator Brian Daboll talk about this almost ad nauseum, that Josh, despite his immense physical gifts, which, let's be honest, if you or I had those physical gifts, might be a little cocky, might be a little cocky about it, might think we've got the world by the, you know, by a string and have all the answers. Josh is not that way. Josh is not a person that thinks he's got all the answers. for a guy that's as gifted as he is, he's a pretty humble person, personality-wise, and that's what makes him coachable. And quite frankly, that's what made him so attractive to the Bills as an option in the 2018 draft. Here's a guy who's got, I mean, he's just oozing talent. From a physical perspective, he's a smart kid, and he wants to be great, but he doesn't believe for a second that he's great yet. And he knows if he's going to become great, he's got to be coachable. And when you have a guy with that kind of talent that's willing to listen to instruction, take advice, whether it was Derek Anderson in the quarterback room last year or Matt Barkley in the quarterback room this year, or Brian Daboll, or new quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey, who played in the league for 7 or 8 years and has coached quarterbacks like Cam Newton in this league, I think you see how valuable being coachable can be for the future of Josh Allen's career. Now, the other thing that Tony mentioned that I think's gone by the board too is his adaptability. Now, does this ultimately revert back to his physical ability and playmaking ability? I think it does. But it is a trait, being able to adapt to the situation. And this is some of the improvisational ability or the ability to extend plays that we're talking about when it comes to Josh. So adaptability and coachability, certainly two traits of Josh's game that can absolutely fall into the other category here in the Twitter poll. So very good call, Tony, and we appreciate you chiming in and lending that to the conversation here. 803-0550, if you want to get in on that and let us know what you feel is Josh's best trait, at least as it pertains to success for the Bills here in 2019. And if you can't get on the line, that's fine too. Just, you know, hop on the Twitter poll on your phone and get the votes in. I think we're somewhere around 600 votes so far. It's probably more than that now since I last checked. Yeah, we're almost 700 votes so far. But 803-0550 is where you can get in and join the conversation, because like I told you, it's just me and you today. So we've got open segments from here till 3 p.m. So feel free to lend your perspective to this conversation today. And we do have another call on the line. It's CJ in West Seneca, so we'll talk to him at this time. CJ, welcome to the program. What do you have for us?
Hey, Chris, good afternoon. So the whole thing with Josh for his second year, that I think that's going to be huge, that I think that's going to go a long way for him, is his coachability and adaptability. And I'm just thinking back to our past quarterbacks. So, you know, the whole thing with EJ, why he failed, is because his footwork was absolutely horrible and he wasn't able to improve it. So he was throwing just with his arm. We saw him in training camp throwing balls way out of the sideline into the hospitality tents. And then going back to someone like, you know, J.P. Lossman, where his internal clock was so bad, where he would be sitting in the pocket for so long and getting sacked, you know, he flamed out because he wasn't able to get the internal clock aspect of the game down. I think with Josh, where if he's able to make that big step for the second year with getting the intermediate passing game down, we know he has the bomb that he can hit, you know, the long passes to Foster or John Brown, you know, this year pretty easily. But
right,
if he can get the intermediate passing game down and he knows what his limitations are, if he shows a big stride with that this year, it's just going to show how coachable and adaptable he is with that. So,
no, all good stuff, CJ, and I appreciate the call. So thanks for chiming in on that, because those are good things to also mention. I mean, intermediate passing game will be a step that Josh has to take. I don't think there's any question about it, but I think that's one of the main reasons that the Bills went out in free agency and spent money on Cole Beasley, who's just across the way working out every single day to have himself physically ready for training camp. As we know, he's coming off that core muscle surgery, didn't get any reps in any of the spring practices, OTAs or minicamp. But this guy's loaded for bear in here. I mean, he's in here every single day sweating it out, getting ready for the season. So it's nice to see him in here so diligent in getting ready and getting all the way back from the core muscle surgery that he had back in the spring. But with respect to Josh, it was interesting that CJ mentioned some of those previous quarterbacks, because when we put this poll together today, I also was thinking about that, and because Josh is very young in his career, and while I think we all believe he's the franchise quarterback going forward, knowing he's so young in his career, I was trying to equate, you know, his trajectory here and some of his traits with those of some previous quarterbacks, first-round picks, you know, like J.P. Lossman and E.J. Manuel and CJ, We got enough initials there? Holy cow. We just talked about J.B. Losman, E.J. Manuel, and our caller was C.J. But I was thinking back to those guys because some of their traits were similar. J.P. Losman certainly had athleticism and playmaking ability. He ran a 4.7 40 time at the combine, and he had a rocket arm. But as C.J. pointed out, J.P.'s problem was the lack of an internal clock that could process defenses at an efficient enough rate to get rid of the football on a consistent basis. And part of the reason that he was hamstrung in that area is because in college at Tulane, he basically had a one-read offense. Here's the read on the play. If that's not there, run around and use your athleticism and make something happen. Well, that's all well and good in the college game where his athleticism is probably head and shoulders above any defensive lineman that might be pursuing him, let alone a linebacker. But when you get to the NFL level, it's a different ball of wax. Not to mention the fact that the defenses are more complex. And then on top of that, what he was being asked to do in the scope of Kevin Gilbride's offense and then later Mike Mularkey's offense, it was too much for him to process. He had too much on his plate to execute offensively. And then you combine that with what he had to process and diagnose from the opposing defense, you understand why getting the ball out in 2.5 to 3 seconds just wasn't happening often enough for him. And if your quarterback can't get the ball out, he's going to be running for his life. And that's what JP was doing an awful lot of the time in his time in Buffalo. And then EJ Manuel, you know, CJ mentioned his footwork. And while footwork was a problem for a time, to EJ's credit, he did work hard on it to improve it, and it did improve. I think EJ's problem was similar to that of JP's. Slow eyes was the phrase that people most often used with EJ Manuel's game. He just didn't see it soon enough. I think he worked hard to process it, to prepare, and to be ready to diagnose things from the opponent each and every given week, but he just didn't see it quickly enough, often enough. And because of that, even though he had some physical traits that certainly enabled him to play in this league, they weren't enough to overcome the mental processing of what he was seeing out there to execute and make the most of those physical traits. And I think that's where Josh separates himself from his two of his predecessors, because he does process and have a firm grasp of the offensive scheme. And as we saw in that Chris Sims interview that has been referenced a couple of times, once by one of our callers, he's at a place where he is already taking that step and diagnosing things and getting into the nuances of the defensive football that he faces each and every week. And those 11 starts are going to be valuable as he springboards here into 2019. Let's get back to the phones at 803-0550 as we have wide open phone lines for you to chime in on. And we'll go back to West Seneca. We just had CJ. Now we're going to have Patrick here at 803-0550. What do you have for us, Patrick?
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for taking the call.
Yeah.
Quick point on Allen. I think his intelligence is a little underrated. And I think what I mean by that is, if you look at him, you know, his tape at Wyoming versus year one with the Bills, I think the mechanics are night and day, to be honest with you. And when he gets compared and lumped in with the rest of the rookie class, for better or for worse, if you look at Mayfield or Darnold or even Lamar Jackson, I think all of them look very, very much the same as they did in college. So I think that leads me to believe that Allen does need a little bit more time to adjust to the mechanics. And, you know, he's kind of still getting used to his body in that way. So all of that, to me, kind of points to a big leap in year two.
All right. Very good. I appreciate the comment, Patrick. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I mean, you want to he's always going to be compared to his fellow quarterbacks in the 2018 class. That's just going to go on for the duration of their respective careers. I think it's safe to say that Baker Mayfield had a further along development in terms of a jumping off point in terms of where his career was starting at the NFL level compared to that of Josh, who was only, a starter for 2 years. I want to say he played in 23, had 23 career starts. If memory serves, I might be a little off on that. And I know Baker Mayfield, what was he, a 3-year starter, if I remember right? At least two, but I believe three. And I just think his advancement with his passing skill set was far ahead of where Josh's was coming into the league, not to mention the fact that he faced far stiffer competition playing in the Big 12. And then Sam Darnold, you know, a lot of people were of the opinion that his game was very advanced for just being a 21-year-old at the time that he was drafted. But I think, yes, I think Josh's intelligence is dismissed to some degree. And, you know, Patrick also mentioned the mechanics. The mechanics of Josh's game have grown by leaps and bounds in terms of footwork, in terms of diversifying his passing repertoire, you know, with the touch throw, the anticipatory throw to go along with the fastball. You know, he's like a pitcher that's got three or four pitches now, not just one. And that's going to pay dividends for the passing game. You know, and you also talk about the things that he has done to work hard on cleaning up the mechanics, whether it's going out to Jordan Palmer's QB Summit, which he did again here in the break for 5 weeks or so, and had Tyree Jackson with him, you know, the Bills' undrafted quarterback that they signed, the rookie. So all of those things, wanting to be great, is going to push his game forward. We got time for another call here, so we'll go back to 803-0550. Second call of the day from Greenville, South Carolina. It's Sean from Greenville. Sean, what do you have for us here? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Chris. Concerning Josh Allen, you know, I was a big fan of his coming out. He was my QB1 last year coming out in the draft, and the reason being was just it was an overall character issue, not just as far as, you know, personal not getting in trouble type thing. But the way that he carries himself, the intelligence, and then, of course, there's the unteachable physical talent. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, while all the other quarterbacks in his class, every single one of them was an Elite 11 kid. Football pedigree, growing up, going to camps, refining techniques. This kid's lugging pipe on a farm, you know?
Right.
What's going to happen with all those years of training going towards his technique and, you know, just being football? You don't know what you have. You really have no idea what he's going to be. And I think the people that are writing him off are ignoring the fact that, you know, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, these guys are what they are. You know, they might get a little bit better over time. But Josh, the limit is through the ceiling with this guy.
Right.
And that's what really sold me on him. And it's just the sending out the letters and all that other stuff was just – it just reminds you of somebody who – does not want to lose, whether it's, you know, one snap or anything. This kid hates losing, and it shines through on the field. You saw it last year, and you know, I'm very much excited about what he's going to put on the field this year.
All right, Sean, thanks very much for the call. We hope to see you maybe down at those joint practices in August.
Absolutely.
All right. Sean, great call there, because I think one thing that's been ignored is the fact that when you compare Josh to Sam Darnold, to Baker Mayfield, to Lamar Jackson, Josh comparatively is young in football in terms of his exposure to all the nuances of the game. And so because of that, you know, as Sean mentioned, he's got the highest ceiling of the entire group. And we haven't even mentioned Josh Rosen either, but Josh Rosen was going to Elite 11 camps forever. So was Sam Darnold. Baker Mayfield was going all of those things too. I don't know the history of Lamar Jackson quite as well, but he was on the radar a lot earlier than Josh Allen was too. Josh Allen couldn't get to a D1 school. He couldn't get a D1 offer. He had to go to Reedley Community College for a year before somebody finally said, oh yeah, we'll give you a look, and it was Wyoming. So, you know, you look at all of that and you think about the people that he was around, and comparatively, the opportunity to develop just flat out was not there to the degree that it was for Baker Mayfield, for Sam Darnold, and probably for Lamar Jackson, definitely for Josh Rosen. So, yes, the ceiling is extremely high. And because of these other traits that we've listed in the Twitter poll, we've got a situation that is very exciting to watch unfold. And I think that's why people are optimistic about the 2019 season for the Bills, for a lot of reasons besides Josh Allen. But as we know, the two things that people care about most with their NFL team the quarterback and the head coach. And when you have a guy with a bounty of talent like Josh has and the character traits that should push that talent forward, you can't help but get excited. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It's an open show. It's a Friday free-for-all. It's Chris Brown with you, flying solo here. So feel free to chime in. Lend what you want to the program concerning Josh Allen's best traits. And chime in on the Twitter poll if you can't get on the horn. 803-0550, the number. We'll be back on the other side with more. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live here at One Bills Drive. Chris Brown with you flying solo today on a Friday free-for-all. So chime in if you want at 803-0550 as we're discussing Josh Allen's best trait that will translate to success for the Bills in 2019. And we've had a host of contributions today. So thanks to the callers that have done that as well as the people on the tweet sheet. But some of the most interesting comments have come and we would file under the other category in the poll. People talking about Josh's coachability, his adaptability, ability to adapt to the different circumstances that come up in the game based on what's working and what's not working. We saw examples of that last year in his 11 starts, and I think that translates very well to our next caller, Edric in New Jersey, who's got to take on Josh's best traits as well. So, Edric, welcome to the program. What do you have for us?
Hey, Chris. How are you, man? Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah.
And look, like I told you, man, Steve and John, they're always gone. It's like always a big vacation. they got it good, Chris. But anyways, I think one of his best traits is that Josh is like a weapon at the quarterback position. I mean, and what I mean by it is that, you know, you have to defend so many things of Josh. His big, his huge arm. He can throw it anywhere on the field. He's a smart kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can run. I mean, he can outrun you. I mean, he'll run by you, through you, over you. I mean, that's kind of things you can't coach. And I think the Miami game last year, the second one, was really, I think, his ceiling. You know, and I mean, he was the best player on the field that day. I mean, heck, he was the best player on the field both Miami games. And you know, and for a kid that came from Wyoming, I mean, that's what people don't understand. This kid came from Wyoming playing against, you know, I don't know, defenders. I
think that's the WAC or maybe the Mountain West Conference. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, those are guys that won't even sniff the NFL, and this guy's the best player on the field in the NFL. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know. I think Josh has a bright future, man, and I think – you know, people that want to continue with the narrative and are so-so, and you know, my argument is that to you. You know, if this kid is not able to play in the league, how can he be considered the best player on that field in a handful of games last year? I mean, that to me answers the question, you know?
And I would agree with you, Edric, and I thank you for the phone call, and thanks for being a part of the program. You know, he referenced the second Miami game, the last game of the season, and we'll get to that in a second. But what sold me on Josh and convinced me that the Bills have their quarterback was the first game against Miami, where he literally put the team on his back and was unquestionably, as Edric mentioned, the best player on the field for either team, because the Dolphins simply had zero answers to stopping Josh Allen in that game. I mean, we were just talking about it the other day on the show. Steve was talking about how he made Kiko Alonso look silly. I mean, he turned him into a spinning top because he could not keep up with him when he took off and ran. But Josh, in that game, the first game against the Dolphins, he was only 18 of 33 passing. Now, there were some drops in that game. That's not all him. And then he also ran for 135 yards on 9 carries. Now, in that game, he did have two touchdown passes. He also had a couple of interceptions. The game at the end of the season that Edrick was referencing, here's a guy that goes 17 for 26 for 224 with three touchdowns and one pick and runs for 95 yards as well and a couple of touchdowns. So the guy accounts for five touchdowns in the game, completes over 65% of his passes, and averages 8.6 yards per attempt. Now, Edrick said that's the ceiling. I don't think that's the ceiling. I think that's a peak at where the ceiling can be for Josh Allen. Because of all of the traits that he possesses in totality. But what a way to finish the season. I mean, that is all-pro type production. I mean, five touchdowns a week? I don't know how realistic that is for Buffalo's offense, especially with all the change that endured from that point in time to where they are now, be it the receiving core, the offensive line, even changes at running back, tight end, etc. So to expect the offense to jump right back into that kind of offensive production, especially against what proved to be one of the lesser defenses in football last year as the Dolphins were going nowhere fast and it cost Adam Gase his job, I do think that it does lend a peek into where Josh's game can go, as Edrick pointed out. I mean, this guy's playing, you know, out west in a lesser conference by most assessments, and he jumps into the NFL and flashes in this kind of a way as a rookie. I think you can't be anything but encouraged. And so the traits that are there that encourage people the most are all of them that we've talked about, and some people prefer some to others. But I just think whichever one you pick, all of them are going to be serving Josh and this offense well going forward. And coachability might be the biggest one because of what we were just talking about. The fact that comparatively to the other members of the 2018 quarterback class, Josh is young in football. His exposure to the intricacies and nuances of this game, he is relatively new to those things in comparison to Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, because these guys have been immersed in the quarterback universe from grade school. And Josh was a three-sport athlete in high school, and he might be benefiting now because of that. And knowing that he is an intelligent kid, I think the learning curve will be shortened, and I think the improvements will be readily apparent to everybody that's watching games this fall. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to chime in on Josh and your thoughts on what you feel his best trait is. We'll check back on the tweet sheet in a little bit, but there is one thing that I wanted to get to here before this next break, and that's the NFL franchise tag deadline. Because it's coming up on Monday, and while I believe in total there were six players franchised, there are three that are still unsigned. They did not sign their franchise tender, and it doesn't look like any of these three are going to sign a long-term contract with the team that did tag them. And we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney in Houston, who, if he signs the tag, will make almost $16 million, $15.97 million. Atlanta's Grady Jarrett, the defensive tackle, slated to make $15.2 million if he signs his franchise tender. And the 49ers kicker, Robbie Gould, who is slated to earn just under $5 million if he signs his franchise tag. Now, Monday is the last day, 4 p.m., for them to sign a long-term contract. They have until November 12th to actually sign the tag and still play. I think that's week 10. Or the end of week 10, to get their six games in and an accrued season. Now, believe it or not, the most interesting case here is Robbie Gould. How often do we see kickers hold out? Never, right? He might do it. Now, I don't think that's a smart idea because you can always find a kicker, maybe not of the caliber of Robbie Gould, but certainly somebody that can kick relatively successful at a relatively successful rate and won't cost you games. Although Chicago Bears fans who saw Robbie Gould go west to San Francisco and had who they had last year might tell you otherwise. But here's the thing. For Gould, he played most of his career in Chicago. And then when he played for two other teams, most recently the 49ers, his family stayed in Chicago. He's got kids in school. He didn't want to uproot them, move them around, as he's now clearly on the backside of his career and realizes, well, I might be signing a one-year contract here. I might be signing a one-year contract there. I might be bouncing around here on the backside of my career. I don't want to put my family through that. But now, after 2 years of spending football seasons away from his family, he now wants to get back closer to them. And I think he was hoping that there could be some kind of a sign and trade, or if there was a long-term extension that could be agreed upon in San Francisco, well, then he would move his family out west to be with him during the football season and enroll the kids in school out in the San Francisco Bay Area. But that does not look like it's going to happen, and he has threatened to hold out a kicker. I just can't believe it. I read that. My eyes almost fell out of my head. Clowney is a more interesting story just because of the caliber of player he is. I think J.J. Watt is at a point in his career where his abilities are starting to go on the decline. He's had a lot of injuries. He's coming back from another one this season where he wasn't playing 100% last year. And Clowney is the guy. The problem is they're paying all this money to J.J. Watt, who is a beloved player in Houston. And so the situation you have is almost untenable because it's going to be very difficult to give Jadeveon Clowney gigantic money on a long-term contract extension where he's making upwards of $21 million a year, even though he is in his prime. And so Watt still being under contract compromises the money that Houston can commit, to Clowney at this time long term. And that's painful because he's 26 years old. And you look at what Frank Clark got after he was traded from Seattle to Kansas City, 5 years, $104 million. So that's an average annual value of almost $21 million. I think if he signed a long-term contract, whether it's in Houston or eventually somewhere else, it's going to be 21 or more. And I just don't think Houston can stomach that, especially knowing they're going to have to be paying DeAndre Hopkins in a year's time. So they've really got an issue there. And if I'm them, I'm doing the sign and trade. I don't know why they haven't tried to explore that more. Because I'd like to believe you could find a willing participant to help you there with a sign and trade. I mean, we remember what happened here in Buffalo back in 2003, it was, when Tom Donahoe, the GM, did a sign and trade with Atlanta for Peerless Price. He had just signed Eric Moulds to a gigantic extension, a $40 million extension, which was big money then, to keep him in the fold long term. They were not going to spend giant money on another receiver. They just could not commit that kind of money after just getting out of cap jail. They were trying to be more responsible with the salary cap. So they did a sign and trade with Peerless Price and the Atlanta Falcons, and they got a first-round pick back, which ended up turning into Willis McGahee. And why Houston hasn't tried to pursue that more just baffles me. But they also don't have a GM right now. So if we think that's going to happen in the short term, I think we're dreaming. So in the end, Clowney's probably going to have to sign the franchise tender, play under that for a year in Houston, and see where it goes. And Grady Jarrett, I just haven't kept my ear to the ground enough to know the ins and outs of where that's headed. But I was reminded of the Peerless Price sign and trade when I saw this come down, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. The deadline to sign anybody to a long-term contract is coming up on Monday at 4 p.m., and I don't know that any of these three guys are going to do it. We do have to take a break, but we will get back to the Josh Allen conversation. Take your phone calls at 803-0550 or at 1-888-550-2550. We've also got some other things to discuss. Sean Payton, the Saints coach, is back in the news with his take on how he feels the challenges are going to go, especially with pass interference now on the table as something that can be challenged. We'll be back with that and more on the other side. This is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live here at One Bills Drive. Chris Brown with you on a Friday free-for-all. So keep the phone calls coming. You guys have been a big help today. I appreciate it. Steve Tasker under the weather, hopefully feeling better, resting comfortably at his home. And John Murphy in a boat somewhere, probably looking for Fredo and fishing. Big Godfather fan he is. 803-0550 to get on board here as we are discussing Josh Allen's best trait that will breed success for this team in 2019. We've got a host of answers and good ones, and including ones for the other category on the Twitter poll, which right now still has Josh's athleticism and playmaking ability leading the way. But we will get a phone call in here before the top of the hour, and we go to Mike for that. Mike, what do you have for us? Welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina, too.
Holy cow! Where is this hotbed of Bills fans in Greenville? I'm gonna need some addresses texted to me or something. We gotta find you guys when we're down there.
Oh man, I've already talked to your producer, man. I'm the president of the Bills Backer Bar here in Greenville, and so we're trying to get you guys over to come hang out, some free food, and some cold beer.
Now, how far are you guys from Spartanburg?
About 25 minutes.
Oh, that's not terrible. All right, yeah. I mean, you guys are helping me out. So, yeah, I mean, we may have to look into that, provided the practice schedule and work schedule allows us some downtime. That'd be great.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really why I wanted to call today. I just want to let you know there's a ton of us down here. But as far as concerning Josh Allen, man, I was sold. It's got to be the it factor. Just watching that game down in Miami was the first time in years that I could just sit back, relax, and like, you know what? He's going to make a play, and we're going to go down there and score. Unfortunately, a little bit of a fluttered ball and a Clay drop pass.
Right.
But, hey, 5 touchdowns in that other Miami game, the guy just makes plays, and I'm just – the sky's the limit, and I'm just jacked for the season.
All right. We appreciate the call, Mike. We look forward to seeing you down there at the joint practices. Thanks for chiming in. Boy, Greenville, South Carolina is coming strong today. That's 3 calls from there. I don't think that's ever happened. Jay, I out of town wise, I don't know if that's ever happened, like multiple calls from an out of town city. I don't think it's ever reached 3. So good on you, Greenville. A Bills out of town hotbed. Who knew? I mean, maybe Brandon Bean knew, which I mean, he's looking really smart setting up some joint practices down that way. He's got his Carolina connections working for him. Because there's going to be some red, white, and blue out there at those joint practices for sure if the Bills Backers Club in Greenville has anything to say about it, and apparently they do. Good on you, Greenville. Well done. The Bills fan contingent down there bringing it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Got some other NFL news to discuss along with the Josh Allen conversation, which will continue. Here's one thing I wanted to squeeze in just before the break here. There's this interesting golf wager between Colts coach Frank Reich and Eagles head coach Doug Peterson. Obviously, they are former co-workers because Reich was the quarterback's coach and coordinator under Peterson in Philadelphia before he got the head job in Indianapolis. And both of these guys are playing in the celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe, the Amateur Century Celebrity Golf Championship. They do this every year. There's always a lot of NFL guys in this golf tournament. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick played in it while he was with the Bills, among other guys. So anyway, they're playing there. Last year, Doug Peterson made a wager with Saints head coach Sean Payton, and he beat him handily. And the wager, it hit Sean Payton in the wallet to the tune of $5,000. He had to make a $5,000 donation to the Eagles Autism Challenge. So it went to a good cause, but he was far behind Peterson, who finished 32nd in the tournament. Payton finished 77th last year. Well, this year, Reich and Peterson are the two coaches who are seen as the highest, with the best odds to win. Both of them are 100-1. Tony Romo's the favorite at 5-2 and probably will win the tournament. But they're betting each other who will finish higher on the leaderboard. So really, they just have to beat out one another. to win the wager. And again, it is going to be money paid to respective charities for each guy. So interesting. Well, I'm going to be checking in on the leaderboard this weekend to see how each of these guys finish, to see who wins this thing. But Peterson has a very good golf game. I can't speak to Frank's golf game. I'm sure if we had Steve here today, he probably could, because I'm sure he's played with him. But I got to believe Frank wouldn't have taken him up on this wager if he didn't think he had a shot at it. But Peterson would donate to Ascent 121, a charity based out of Indiana that aids long-term trauma recovery for teen survivors of sex trafficking. That's the charity that Frank is bringing to the table. And then if Peterson wins, Reich's going to have to donate to the Eagles Autism Challenge again to build awareness for autism within the community. So two guys doing good things in a friendly way, and we'll have to give an update on Monday in some way, shape, or form. We'll try to remind our producer, Jay Harris, and the guys on the show Monday to take care of that. But 803-0550, the number to call. We will take a break here now. Got a sports update for you and more on the best traits of Josh Allen that's going to help breed success for this team in 2019. We'll hit the tweet sheet again, and we'll also check in with the aforementioned Sean Payton to get his take on how he feels these challenges are going to go. His team is the reason why there was a knee-jerk reaction to review pass interference. He's got an interesting opinion on how he thinks things are going to play out with the officials and pass interference this fall. We'll have that and more. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.